Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, welcome to the program, everybody. The Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday, October the 22nd. This is hour two of the program. And on the way this hour, our NFL insider, Jim Lang. We're going to get to him in moments. A lot of topics on the docket today. Gerrit Cole of the Astros faces Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals as the World Series gets underway tonight in Houston. Cole enters the matchup at 19-0 in his last 25 starts, including three wins in these playoffs. 6:07 Mountain, first pitch tonight. If you can't get enough World Series talk, we had Greg Zahn with us last hour, 16-year major leaguer and World Series champ. Good and longtime friend of ours. How about this? The Raptors start their NBA title defense tonight with a season-opening game against the New Orleans Pelicans. Gents, that snuck up on us, didn't it?
Sure did.
Yeah, and I see the Raptors now, Scott. Things you're going to repeat. Nobody thought they'd win last year. Who cares? Just go prove it on a game-by-game. What do they got to prove to anybody? They're fine.
Zion got his knee hurt.
4 to 6 weeks he's out, huh?
Yeah.
But he'll be fine. He's young.
Yeah.
By the way, CFL topics today. We're talking about the Cody Fajardo extension by the Riders, 2 years, around $450,000 per year. Here's what I love about the Rider Nation. Now the question is it too soon? Is it too much money? Everybody begging them to sign him. Then they signed him, and now they're questioning it. That's just what it is, right, around here. Our daily poll question is, who is the most outstanding player of the CFL West for Capital Auto Mall? Universal Collision Center. Disclaimer, we only have four options on a Twitter poll and Facebook, so we went with Andrew Harris, Cody Fajardo, Bo Levi Mitchell, or Brian Burnham, and completely ignored the Edmonton Eskimos because we had to. And a gentleman by the name of Brian wrote in, and he did make a good point. When Trevor Harris went down with injury against Edmonton way back around Labor Day, he was leading the league in passing. He was. And the team was in contention, but we only got four spots. Those are the four. And I think Cody Fajardo, yeah, he's a runaway leader in this poll. I think he will probably be runaway leader to win that award. Are we ready with Jimbo? All right. We're bringing in our NFL insider, Canada's foremost expert on the National Football League, Jim Clubber Lang from Southern Ontario. How you doing, Jimmy?
Good. Number 99, Warren Sapp, Mark Gastineau. Can't forget those number 99s.
It's a Wayne show. End of story.
Sorry.
Now you got it. Jim, I was thinking of you last night while watching election coverage and watching that stud Lloyd Robertson on CTV with the election coverage. You just spent some time with him recently. Is he as big of a stud in real life as he is coming through your TV screen?
He is. He's a very nice man. He's be like your grandfather or your uncle, and his voice is, well, second to none. He's not a huge man in stature, but Lloyd has an encyclopedic knowledge of all elections in this country and the trends in that. And I really cherish any time I get a chance to talk to him because, I mean, like a lot of Canadians, we grew up watching him every night. So to have him in studio in your radio show talking about the election, talking about politics, to me is a real treat.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, didn't watch much of Monday night football last night because I was watching election coverage, but I loved the poll on ESPN this morning, Dan Le Batard. Who was the better quarterback for the Patriots last night, Tom Brady or Sam Darnold? Think about that for a second. Four picks.
Sam Darnold. He threw four picks under 100 yards, and they heard him in a hot mic going, "I'm seeing ghosts out there," because of the defense of Bill Belichick was throwing at him. The kid was overwhelmed. And as someone said on Twitter last night, Bill Belichick has no mercy on anyone. And even when the Jets were down and out and Sam Darnold was down and out, Bill Belichick doesn't care. And not only did they win the game and embarrass the Jets, then they acquire Mohamed Sanu for a fairly reasonable price draft pick from the Atlanta Falcons because Atlanta's in rebuild mode. And like Bill Belichick does every year, he stockpiled draft picks for this type of occasion. So now they've added another receiver to Tom Brady for the second half of the season.
Do you guys have something? Yeah, go ahead, Marshall. Yeah, go ahead.
Marshall here. Two quick questions, and I'll throw them both out, although they're not related. But how do you not watch yesterday's game, which I did watch? How do you not watch that and think that the New England Patriots are clearly the favorite to win the Super Bowl this year? And my second question, for those people out there that are saying that Teddy Bridgewater, who's done really, really well in replacing Drew Brees, should be the starting quarterback when Drew Brees is healthy, give your head a shake. Like, what are your reactions to those two comments?
I'll start with the Bridgewater thing. I think he's been phenomenal, but let's give some credit to Sean Payton and the rest of the Saints team. They built a multidimensional team that can win in different ways and has a better defense than people really realize. Their defense is pretty solid, but Drew Brees is an all-timer. So he goes back to the starting job. That's not open for debate. But as far as the New England Patriots, as much as it drives a lot of people crazy because some people are sick of Belichick and Brady in the Patriots way, I just see flaws in all the other quote-unquote contenders in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes, that was a – I mean, when they pop your kneecap back in on live TV, even when he comes back, he's not going to have the same speed and same agility he did early in the season. That's going to take a while of rehab and exercise till he's back. So he'll be back, but not at the Patrick Mahomes prior to the injury. So you start thinking about teams that have just a chance of beating New England, they're not in the same class. So – as much as people don't like to admit it, how could you not bet against? How could you bet against New England going all the way to the Super Bowl again? Because in the AFC, there are teams that would give them a run, but ultimately are not good enough to beat them right now.
That's something, Craig Smith here. This is something that I was going to ask with regards to. There's two undefeated teams right now. Do you see those two going into the Super Bowl, or what about Green Bay? Somebody like that.
Craig, I mean, I do like what Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers are doing. It's a solid team, and you know, they played in really kind of wet, nasty, muddy conditions in Washington when they showed up the Redskins. But I mean, no one really gave a chance to Green Bay this year. It was a rebuild year. They had a new coaching staff. What would Matt LaFleur do with Aaron Rodgers? How would Aaron Rodgers work away from Mike McCarthy? Mm-hmm. What would happen? And then he puts a game together like last week, where he completely eviscerates the Oakland Raiders and was like throwing and running like he's 10 years ago. Let's start thinking about the Green Bay Packers as a pretty legit team. And then the Green Bay Packers are in Kansas City this weekend, who have Matt Moore at starting quarterback. So a chance for Green Bay to really solidify their position in the division. I mean, I like San Francisco a lot, but I don't know if they're ready to take that step. Like, they're getting there. They're going to be a contending team for a few years with the foundation that Kyle Shanahan's building. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still the man as far as I'm concerned when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFC. He's the gold standard, and he's been proving it the last few weeks.
How about in the AFC? Anybody going to contend other than the Patriots?
I mean, Baltimore has been pretty good. I mean, the Ravens. A lot of people in Buffalo think the Bills have a shot, but – the Bills are like a good team with flaws. I mean, you look at a lot of the division teams, the AFC South are some good teams, but nowhere near in the same category of the New England Patriots. Now, Patrick Mahomes was healthy. You might think that the Chiefs might have a chance in an AFC championship game, Patriots-Chiefs, to do something. But I really don't know, after watching them pop his kneecap back in, how good his knee is going to be, how it holds up to play. Mm-hmm. And when it gets cold, and it does get awfully cold in Kansas City in December for that late season games, how his leg is going to hold up? Is he going to be less mobile? And will that affect the offense for Andy Reid? Right now, it's the New England Patriots and everybody else in the AFC.
But even if the Chiefs make the playoffs and Patrick Mahomes comes back and looks reasonably healthy, it's still going to mean they're going to have to go to New England to beat New England to get to the Super Bowl. So it, not only do they have to beat New England, they have to beat New England in New England.
Marshall, you're right. And not only that, Andy Reid has to overcome all his past playoff demons, problems with taking timeouts at the wrong time, challenges at the wrong time, and knowing that Bill Belichick is in his head. Can Andy Reid match wits with Bill Belichick in that kind of environment in New England in January with Patrick Mahomes, who will not be 100% healthy? He'll probably be playing, they hope, at 80% and win a game like that. That's going to require – I mean, everybody in that team playing a perfect game, because I mean, just look at the way the team is built. Look at the way Tom Brady operates the offense. They're just such a seamless machine right now. And even Monday last night's game, Bill Belichick using, he even admitted he discovered a loophole in the rules allowing him to run a minute 30 off the clock without any real penalty to the New England Patriots, and admitted as such after the game, and even said, "We'll probably have to do something to the competition committee after the season to change that loophole I found." No other coach knows that but Bill Belichick. You know, Bill Belichick, even with all his Super Bowl rings, is still staying at the facility till 11 o'clock at night, studying film and looking for any way to beat you. And that's what teams are up against, is you have an incredibly accomplished coach. You could put him in the category as one of the top two or three coaches in the history of the NFL, who still wants to work 11:30 at night because he wants to win so bad.
Well, of course, and reading the rule book. Here's one that's completely off. Yeah, completely off the board, and it's my last one. But we have a lot of viewers in Phoenix, all of Arizona, snowbirds heading down there, and they're Cardinals fans. A lot of people from here, Jim, in Saskatchewan, are Cardinals season ticket holders. They've won three in a row with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. Are the good times back in Arizona?
They're close. They're awfully close. And a lot of people wondered, is Kyler Murray the franchise quarterback they should draft? I think those questions have been answered. I mean, they're not all the way there yet, Rod, but I mean, Kyler Murray is the kind of quarterback you build a franchise around. And Cliff Kingsbury knows that. But so the management and coaching staff realize, okay, we got something special in this kid. Now they're setting themselves up for the next few months and few years. Well, free agency, trades, drafts, offensive line, get a stud tight end around this guy, build around Kyler Murray, and they can do something. I think the Arizona Cardinals have been one of the bright stories of the National Football League. And when everyone talks about this is wrong and this is bad and look how bad some of the teams are around the NFL, we all should point out some of the teams are on the up and coming and rising teams. And Arizona is definitely one of them. Cliff Kingsbury has earned the stripes, and him and Kyler Murray work really well together. And it's been pretty impressive the amount of points they've scored the last 3 weeks in this winning streak. And as every week he plays, he's going to get a better understanding of the National Football League and how to win and how to play. And it's just going to make for a better team. I really like what they're doing there.
Yeah, well, you picked number one overall. You better not screw it up. And the Cardinals didn't.
Nope.
All right, Jim, thanks for the visit.
Play good, feel good. You always have to dress for success when you go into the arena or stadium.
Oh, you were watching that?
Of course.
All right, Jim. Thank you, man.
That's
have a great day.
I dressed up for the occasion. I wore my nice shirt.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Jimbo. He dressed up for us. Have a good day, man.
Bye.
Jim Lang out there in Southern Ontario, Canada's foremost NFL expert. I thought he was referring, and he might have been, to what Greg Zahn said earlier, last hour. And you were here, Smitty, and you weren't in the bunker. You can take your headphones off if you want. But Marshall, you too. It bothers me. It's bothered me for a long time. The guys do dress like they're going to the gym, not going to play an NFL game or a Major League Baseball game. Not hockey players, but the other sports. Clearly it bothers you too.
Yeah, it does bother me. I mean, it's a business trip. You know, even a home game is a business trip. You should be focused on that. And you know, I'll pick on, you know, a couple of names that come to mind. I mean, when I think of, I can't remember the Thunder's guard that's always got all the triple-doubles. What's his name?
Kevin Durant?
No.
Steph Curry?
No.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook. I mean, that guy's always dressed, you know, I think it was Zahn that said, you know, holes in jeans and, you know, flashy. You know, just, it's like every, and the other guy at the other end of perhaps of the spectrum is Cam Newton. I mean, it's all about, look at me. It's all about, look at how wonderful I'm dressed. Look at, and Craig Zahn does it for different reasons, which I admire. But these guys are trying to draw attention to themselves as opposed to focusing on what's my task at hand for this game. What do I need to do to be the best teammate? What do I need to be the best player on the field today or on the court today? Whereas these guys are spending more time in the offseason or in the offseason in between games thinking about how am I going to dress and outdo everybody else that dresses up to go to the games. I mean, it's like a fashion show, and it shouldn't be. It should be a sporting event where you're there focused to do your job.
Yes and no, but if you're talking about Cam Newton, and I know we're late for a break here, but at least he looks good. He's not wearing sweatpants and medallions.
No, he's not looking disrespectful. I agree with that. I think Russell Westbrook looks disrespectful a lot of times with the way he dresses. And I wish I could come up with some other examples, but that's the one that came to mind. If you're dressing respectful, I respect that. But still, it's not about drawing attention to yourself when you're about to play a team game. It'd be different if you're going to a tennis match where it's only you against only him. It's the two of you, mano a mano. It's not in football. It's not in basketball. It's a team game, and you're drawing attention to one person, yourself.
Bob Irving with another update. Zach Collaros is taking first team reps for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in practice this week. So it looks like it's Zach's team now, folks. We'll talk about that when we come back and more. It's the Rod Peterson Show, hour two of episode 99 on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee on the Rod Peterson Show. Got our good friends here in the bunker for coffee, our director of scouting, Craig Smith, and Rider Stamps Ticats alum Marshall Hamilton chatting with the Facebook feed. People chiming in all around the continent with their comments today. Notification here from the CFL. They have named the players of the week for week 19, and they are Hamilton Tiger Cats quarterback Dane Evans, the great Dane, that home win over Ottawa on Saturday. Stampeders receiver Reggie Begelton, who I like to call Great Canadian Begelton. Remember the Great Canadian Bagel?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Great place. He had three touchdowns against the Riders. And Terrell Sutton, Hamilton Tiger Cats running back. So Hamilton Tiger Cats making a lot of noise. And maybe it's because we're out here in Western Canada, we don't hear so much about the Hamilton Tiger Cats. The question is, will we hear from them in the end? And we'll get to that in a moment. Well, we got to go back to the Zach Collaros thing. DuPont came running out of his office here to chime in on the Collaros thing, because he heard us talking about it. So it's looking like he's going to start Friday for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And what I love about this show, we can agree to disagree, not you guys specifically, but sometimes we do, and we can still walk out of here friends. I said yesterday with Collaros, if you're going to dress him and give him a helmet, then you better be prepared to play him. And Abu looked at me like I was from Mars. And he goes, they're only dressing him as a threat that he might play. He's not going to play. I felt I was right. And it looks like he's going to play Friday night. But gentlemen, it's the deeper discussion. Should he be even playing at all? Who wants to take it first?
Well, in my opinion, and I think I've been saying this for the better part of this year on different programs, it's scary to me. It really is. And I certainly hope I'm wrong, because I like Zach Collaros as a man and as a player. But I fear for, not his life, I fear for his health. I really do. And I'm concerned that he's not going to make it out of the game if he plays. And it's not because he's not going to do well. I think he has all the tools to do well. But I think it only takes one hit, and it doesn't need to even be a hit to the head. I mean, the thing, if you talk to doctors, concussions aren't necessarily blows to the head. Concussions are, you can get a concussion from a whiplash. It's just, it's the action of the brain, which is in a fluid inside the skull. If it moves too much like that, you can get a concussion without ever hitting the head. And, you know, football's a game of violent collisions to your shoulder, to your back, to your torso, to your neck, and to your head, obviously. And it doesn't take a blow to his head for us to lose Zach Collaros, and I'm really concerned. But at the end of the day, because we were talking off the air about, well, who do you blame for this? Do you blame the Bombers? Do you blame his agent? And I say there's lots of blame to go around, but at the end of the day, he's getting advice from his parents, from his friends, from his coaches, from his agent, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the day, it's Zach Collaros is responsible for the decision as to whether he plays or not. And he's obviously decided he's going to try it. I wish him well. I don't wish the Winnipeg Blue Bombers well, but I wish Zach Collaros well. But I really fear for his health.
Look what Dunnigan went through. I mean, he took so many hits, and he's still having problems. Same thing's going to happen with Zach. I mean, and especially if he gets another one. It's a tough situation, you know. I mean, it boils down to, okay, Zach, you know what you've been through. Do you want to still play? Yeah, I do. Okay, we'll sign you. We'll get you going. And if a guy dresses, he should be ready to play.
Yep.
Like last week he dressed. If he, you know, the other guy, if he got hurt, Zach had, you know, he dressed. He got to go in. He's got to be ready. So, but it's almost a sad situation because, you know, he had so much ability. Like I go back to the block that Banks took the touchdown back in the Grey Cup, and they're going to win the Grey Cup, and Zach was the quarterback for that. I mean, he you know, but holy cow,
he is that caliber of a quarterback. But Smitty, that was six seasons ago.
Yeah, true enough.
You know, that was a long time ago.
Well, hasn't played.
That's how good he is. Nobody's disputing that. We all think Zach's a great quarterback, but. Yeah. We live in a different world, as DuPont likes to say now, than the Brandon Banks block to the back. But the thing that disappoints me with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and football overall, because they don't want to tell you what they're really thinking and what they're really doing, and that is that they're right, but all of their jobs depend on this. I believe in Winnipeg. All of their jobs depend on this. And you are putting it in the hands of Zach Collaros. Do you really want to do that? He's not familiar with your program. He hasn't been in that offense. Like, Drew Willey was just on this program yesterday. Here's Drew saying, I'm down here in Tampa. I'm throwing 3-4 times a week. I'm working out every day. I'm ready for a call. But the money wasn't there. Well, Zach's got an existing contract. I don't know if that's still the contract the Riders signed him to. That was $350,000. Yeah. But if you're willing to pay Zach that prorated, wouldn't you? What are we offering Drew Willey?
Yep.
Because here's Drew, who's at least healthy enough and wants to play. Yeah, Zach wants to play too, but he shouldn't be. I'm just saying, where's the urgency with Winnipeg? Like, oh man, I feel bad for him. I'm not criticizing him here. I'm not criticizing them at all. I feel disappointed that this is how their season has played out, given the 5-0 start, 6-0, or whatever they were for the first time since 1961. Because Smitty, I don't like to call for people's jobs, but this is it. This is it. Don't you think?
Well, it's very close, that's for sure. I don't know what Wade will do at the end of the season, but I think there'll be a lot of happy, unhappy season ticket holders for the third place finish and outing if that happens. You know, they lost their quarterback. They lost their starter. You know, we did that in 14 and 15, and we were out of jobs. So
right.
It's going to happen. Like, things like that will happen. There's no doubt about it. Even if you did lose the quarterback, you know, it's still one of those things that we didn't play very good football at all. So it was not a good situation. And the same thing here. I mean, you know, I mean, they're so close. You know, they're such a close team. But once again, you go back to you lose your quarterback. I mean, that's critical.
There are windows in sports where, you know, this is my 1, 2, or 3 year window as a team to win the championship, and it's not just football. In every sport, there are windows. It's when you've got this collection of young players that are really starting to come into their own. You've got a collection of older players that are 1 or 2 years away from retirement. And then you got those that are in their prime. And you seem to have, this is the window. We got to do it now because pretty soon these guys are going to be too old and these guys are going to want too much money or whatever. There's a window. And this is Winnipeg's window right now. And it's looking more and more like they're going to miss their window.
Right, so we're talking about, depending how this plays out, going to be a lot of jobs open in Winnipeg, and it's unfortunate that one quarterback injury to Matt Nichols caused this all to unravel. Now it's two with Chris Streveler because he's not practicing today, but I don't think any of us believed he was going to lead this team to a Grey Cup, like Dane Evans might be doing in Hamilton, and like Cody Fajardo might be doing in Saskatchewan, and both of them started the season as backups. That's the point. This Dave Spadafora writes it on the Facebook wall and says, if Zach Caleros isn't concerned, why should I be or anyone else? How unbelievably selfish of a comment that is. Put yourself in Zach. Have you ever heard the phrase, you can't see the forest for the trees? Zach's in the forest. He can't see it. And furthermore, to the Bombers wanted to sign somebody, not to compete for the starting job with Chris Streveler, just to mentor him. You don't have enough guys around there in Buck Pierce. Danny McManus is your head scout. Where are the head scouts right now? They're around the facility, are they not, in the building?
They're probably, there's a certain time when they are when the practice roster expand. So Winnipeg will bring those, the scouts like myself, I went in there. And it's quite a long period, so they could be there. And Danny definitely talks to the quarterbacks. I mean, you know, he definitely gives them advice and things like that when he's there.
But here's where my call out goes. Where are his parents?
Yeah.
I mean, I have three children that are about the same age as Cody Fajardo, or as Zach Caleros. And if they had gone through what Cody has over the course of the last few years, yeah. I'd be sitting down with them. And I would like to think that I have more influence as their father than I do as their coach or their quarterback coach or whatever, you know, colleague, et cetera. Those people all have vested interests in you as a football player. I have vested, as your parent, I have a vested interest in you as a human being. And I'd like to know what candid conversations, or if there's been any candid conversations between that person's, between Zach's mom and dad and him, because that's the one that would mean the most to me.
Well, this, Dave continues to say, he says, I don't think it's selfish. The responsibility for your health and well-being starts and ends with you. Oh, bingo, man. I am the marshal of that parade. Believe me. And that's why he's playing. That's why he's going to start Friday night. Because the Bombers can't tell him you're done. They don't want him to. Randy Ambrosi can't tell him you're done. Yeah. Not even the agent can tell him you're done. And that's Dan Vertlieb, is Zach's agent. No, you're 100% right, Dave. But when he, because I think we all think, gets carted off that field, how are you going to feel then? Is that not the point? I think I would be more than happy to see Zach Caleros have this miraculous story, like miracle on the gridiron, and lead him to a Grey Cup. How is that going to happen? I can't see that happening. Yeah. Just because one hit and he's out? Shelby Gray writes in on the Facebook wall and says, first time listening to the show, Rod. Great show. Thank you, Shelby. I appreciate it. I hope that you make it part of your daily routine. I hope one day that Western Canadians look back and say, I don't remember a day before this mid-morning sports talk show that we had. Hope be part of your culture. Now, I mentioned the Hamilton Tiger Cats and how they don't get enough talk. And maybe it's because we're all the way out here in Western Canada. I don't know. Maybe there's something not exciting about them. Dane Evans? He's not Doug Flutie.
They are,
but he
exciting.
Wins. Do you think so?
Oh,
they got some exciting players. Banks, Braylon Addison.
They, in my opinion, they have more exciting players than any other team in the
really?
Canadian Football League. That doesn't mean I think they're the favorite, but they're certainly 1A and 1B with the Calgary Stampeders, in my opinion. That is a really good football team. And you want to talk about a success story? Let me ask you kind of a bit of a rhetorical question. Who do you want as your starting quarterback next year for the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
Dane Evans.
I want Dane Evans. Absolutely. That guy, the excitement that he's injected into that football team. And Tommy Condell, I think, deserves a ton of credit for as the offensive coordinator. I use this analogy with one of my kids the other day. I said, watching that Hamilton Tiger Cat offense, and this is coming from a former defensive player, is like trying to find out which cup the ball is under when you've got a really good magician, you know, moving these things like that. They got Braylon Addison going one direction. They got Brandon Banks going the other direction. They don't even have Luke Tasker back in the lineup yet, and he's likely to be back in the next couple of days or next couple of weeks. That is one fantastic offense and really, really tough to defend. And, you know, if you look at the list of exciting players in the Canadian Football League, Banks and Addison are probably in the top three. And they got two of the three on the same team, on the same field at the same time. That is a real Grey Cup contender.
Absolutely. And Dane Evans keeps on hitting them. I mean, he drops back and he finds the open receiver and makes the throws, and they're tough. You know, I could definitely easily see them winning the Grey Cup.
Okay. Sure. In the next segment, I want to ask you guys your thoughts on Heritage Classic and a few other things, maybe even World Series. So in the time we have left in this segment on the CFL, I'm sitting here making some notes, and Marshall and I are doing a TV show tonight that's actually 100% Rider Talk. So we'll get nuts and bolts deep on the green and white. But as you're sitting there talking about Hamilton, and I believe they are for sure the class of the East. I'm not sold that they're the number one team in the CFL. That's Calgary. But they are going to be hosting the Eastern Final. So they're a 50-50 shot to get to the Grey Cup. That Eastern semifinal is Edmonton going into Montreal. So here's my question to you guys. The Esks have two games left, both against the Riders. They got Trevor Harris coming back, who they want to, you know, sharpen that knife with Trevor Harris and get ready going into the playoffs. What's Edmonton's chances going through the East? Does it die in Montreal, or do they actually make a run?
Well, it depends on how sharp Trevor Harris gets. I mean, he you know, if they don't have him, there's no chance. And they have to have him at the top of his game like he was at the start of the year. When Edmonton started the year, they went into Winnipeg. I remember that, the first game. And they kicked 7 field goals. They couldn't get into the end zone. They lost, was it 28, 21 or something like that? I mean, they showed me, you know, that defense looked pretty good, that front and linebackers. And then, you know, they just went away. And obviously with Trevor being hurt, that was a big part of it. But, you know, it's going to be tough for him. I mean, coming from an injury, and I don't even know what the injury was. It was seemed like
something in his arm. Yeah,
and he tried to throw the ball, and you know, it just didn't make sense. And it looked like an injury that wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't be out for very long. But he's been out for a while, so it's going to be tough. They're not playing at the Big O, are they?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I don't think so.
Because I know that's a tough place to play.
You know. Yeah, my answer would be there's always a chance, but I think they've got a probably 60, or I'll say 40-60 chance beating Montreal with 40% chance that Edmonton will win that. And then if they win that 40% chance, they probably got a 20%, so a 20-80 chance of beating Hamilton. And you do the statistics on those two, I think that boils down to about 8% chance of coming out as the Eastern Grey Cup nominee. So I think the cards are severely stacked against them, if not from Montreal, certainly from Hamilton.
Well, the history would tell you they got a 0% chance because nobody's ever done it. And there's got to be a reason to that. And we got a couple weeks left before playoffs before we go down that road. But can you imagine Edmonton coming into the Calgary Grey Cup as the Eastern representative against whoever? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It would automatically be maybe the greatest Grey Cup of all time. But we won't talk about that today. When we come back, we'll check the poll results. Who is the most outstanding player in the CFL's West Division? We'll talk a little bit about Heritage Classic. The NHL World's coming right here to the Queen City this week. That and more coming up. It's the Rod Peterson Show Tuesday morning get-together, episode number 99 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Episode number 99 of the program. It's a Wayne Show, period. And we got to give some kudos to our new, addition to the social media team, Ty Daku, helping out on our Instagram story. As the show goes along, he's quoting our guests on. It's awesome. Our Instagram feed is at The Rod Peterson Show. Go check out the story right now. Nice work. There will be a ring ceremony and a banner raising tonight at Scotiabank Arena. Then it'll be back to business for the Toronto Raptors. The Dinos will celebrate their 2019 NBA title before hosting the New Orleans Pelicans to kick off the new NBA season tonight. The Pelicans will be without first overall draft pick Zion Williamson, who was out with a knee injury. Game one of the World Series goes tonight in Houston, where the American League champion Astros will host the National League champion Washington Nats. The Astros are back in the Fall Classic after winning their first World Series back in 2017. The Nationals are in the World Series for the first time since the franchise began as the Montreal Expos in 1969. Why does nobody care about that but like three of us? It's true, though. The Leafs are in Boston tonight, and part of tonight's NHL action, one night after the Leafs fell 4-3 at home in overtime to Columbus last night. The Oilers on the road tonight, visiting the Minnesota Wild. The Oilers will look to kickstart their potent offense after 1-0 shutout loss in Winnipeg on Sunday. The Jets are back in action against visiting LA tonight. And the red-hot Vancouver Canucks continue their road trip with a stop in Detroit. And the Flames are home to the Washington Capitals. Morning sports update there, and we segue into what I said we were going to talk about, and that's the Heritage Classic here Saturday night. Winnipeg Jets, Calgary Flames. We got with us in the bunker Marshall Hamilton and Craig Smith. Smitty, our director of scouting. Gentlemen, how does this Heritage Classic strike with you?
Well, I love it. I think it's a fantastic thing. Of course, I'm a Jet fan, and I wish I could go. You know, obviously health. I don't want to be sitting out in the cold, but I have Kathy's got a nephew that's coming in, and he's going to be going. He's a Jet fan. He's going to be going. So
awesome!
It's a spectacular thing. I mean, the weather's going to be good. two teams that are you know, they're competitive. I've been a little disappointed in the Jets play. I've seen them play all their games, and I was shocked at the team that came out to play Edmonton the other day. So if they keep on doing that, they're going to be a good team. But this thing is going to be spectacular, you know, to have that stadium. I don't know if it's a sellout, but it's close.
I think by the end of the week it will be.
Yeah. So and just to be there, just to see the field being ice and just to, you know, I think it's fantastic. I think it's great for the city. I hear that a lot of the hotels are full, so it's going to add to the economy of this city as well. So it's a great thing.
My son Levi works for the Riders, and I was talking to him a couple of days ago, and he says looking out of his office, he can see the transformation of the yeah. field, and they've been sort of sworn to secrecy and yeah. not allowed to take pictures, et cetera. But he says it's been amazing for him over the course of the last week or so to watch how they transform, you know, a football field into a hockey stadium, which I think is going to be a tremendous game, competitive game between two good teams, but also just to see that atmosphere in the Mosaic Stadium environment. I think what's going to be missing, and I'm going to say this fortunately, although it'd be kind of neat from an optics perspective to see snow on the sidelines, but there's not going to be any snow anywhere, so you're going to have... That's going to be missing from the game. But I think it's great for Saskatchewan, great for Regina in particular, great for Mosaic Stadium. I think anybody that goes is going to get their money's worth by just being there for that atmosphere.
I would love to see what the economic impact for the city will be. I can't even imagine. 9, 10, 11 million?
Yeah.
That's kind of what the Grey Cup did here back in 2013. That was $90 million in a week, but that was a full week long. Yeah. We'd have been into it already if it was a Grey Cup week. So probably 10, 11, 12 million maybe for the city. And yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great game. The Jets and Flames are both coming off wins as we sit here today. But as we said, they're both in action tonight. I'm just looking forward to it. I really had no idea what it was going to be. And now I'm kind of getting an idea of it. And I think it is huge. Like you've both said, absolutely fantastic. But I'll swing this back around to the CFL thing for a second. And I don't know where you guys stand on the political world. And I don't mean the election last night. I mean what's going on in Halifax. How closely are you following that? Smitty, I would assume as a football guy, you're following it quite closely.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
You hear stuff the big thing is the stadium. You got to get
right.
the stadium and they got to nail that down. They don't have that. They don't have anything. So that's critical. So we'll see what develops in the next little bit with regards to that.
Well, it bothers me a little bit that we don't hear anything. The guys that are involved here, the commissioner is a very smart guy, and he's a really good guy. Those guys with the Schooners, friends of ours, really smart guys. But you can't jam a square peg in a round hole. Mm. And I've heard from, I got a lot of friends in Halifax. The politicians just don't want it. And there are two city councilors that you could lay them down and pour gas down their throats and drop a flame on them, and they won't vote for a stadium. They're just not doing it.
See, I don't understand that, because you think about the stadium here. It's not just a football stadium. What are they doing there on Saturday? They're playing a hockey game. How much money is going to come in? You think about all the hotels, all the...
That's my point.
All the bars. So you know that there's going to be party people coming to be in that game, and you know, and they're going to bring some money to spend. So, and in Halifax, and I've looked where it is, it's right by the water. I can't remember the name of the area, but same thing. I mean, it's not just going to be something for the Schooners. There's going to be more to it. You could even have a Heritage Classic there, for God's sakes. I mean, it's...
Well, of course, if they had a new stadium, and the NHL would love, they would love to go out to the Maritimes and have an outdoor game there in a brand new stadium. Of course they would. And that's the thing with these two city councilors. I'm getting forwarded the newspaper stories. I'm getting forwarded emails amongst politicians, and they're saying under no circumstances are we voting for this because it's not good for the citizens. So you don't want to pay $24 a year taxes to go to a new stadium for the next 25 years when it could bring in $11, $12 million in a week. And it's not what's best for your citizens to not have a new stadium. I don't get it. Yeah. But I do not have a dog in the race either, by the way. So we're kind of sitting back and watching this. But from a football perspective, there's a lot of guys like yourself, coaches, scouts, GMs, players. These are jobs for the CFL, too.
Yeah,
so that's why everybody's so in tune to it, right?
Absolutely.
Here's my perspective, and I know you didn't want this to be a political discussion, but let me use this as a bit of a metaphor. I mean, today, a whole bunch of people in Western Canada are waking up saying, duh, why can't the East get it? Why doesn't the East see things the way we do? I mean, everybody out West is voted blue, and out East, you got all this red, and people are going, don't the people in the East get it? Well, we're looking at it through our Western Canada glasses. And I'm not saying they're wrong glasses, but we look at it from Western Canada's perspective. So back to your question about the Canadian Football League playing in the Maritimes. We're looking at that through our traditional Canadian Football League glasses. And the people in the Maritimes are going, well, we don't wear those glasses. We don't think the same way. We don't think the CFL's what you guys think the CFL is. And yeah, some of us watch it. Some of us like watching college football, et cetera. But they look at it through a different lens. And right now, we don't understand why they don't see what we see, but they're looking at it through different glasses. Now, this is obviously going to step on some nerves, but you know, the people in the Maritimes have grown up living with sort of the fishing mentality. You go out, you get your catch for the day, and you come home and you eat your catch. Or you come home, you get your catch for the day, and you go out and sell your catch. They think, you know, short term. They think this is just, you know, my one day investment. I'm going to go out and fish, and I'm going to come out and sell and eat my fish. In order to do this as a maritime provinces, you got to have a 20-year window, not a one-day window or a one-week or a one-month window. You got to have a 20-year window. And I don't think they have grown up thinking that long-term. They're not entrepreneurial in that sense.
And they're
sense.
Not CFL fans either.
That too.
They're not. And I've spent enough time out in the Maritimes where I just feel like because Randy Ambrosi, every commissioner we've ever had sees the CFL as symbolic of the country, which it should. It's the Canadian Football League. And we are all kind of saying, hey, Maritimes, come on in with the rest of us. We'd like you to be part of this. That's where I think everybody's coming from with the rest of the country and the rest of the league. And the Maritimes are like, we're good. We're good out here. That's the sense that I get. They're just not that interested in having a team or building a stadium. And that's their perspective. That's their right. So
here's the seed.
Then don't.
Here's the seed that I'll plant. I think the 10th team in the Canadian Football League may come from a place like Mississauga, where you've got that Golden Horseshoe, you got lots of people there and you know, Toronto doesn't want to come out to football games because they've got the Raptors and the Blue Jays and the Leafs, etc. But what's Mississauga got?
Nothing.
Other than a population of
junior
people
team, I think,
that have some money that would love to have a stadium and another team. And think about the rivalry between Mississauga and Toronto, between Mississauga and Hamilton, between Mississauga and Ottawa. You know, so if this fails, Randy Ambrosi, if you're watching, if this fails in the Maritimes, let's not forget about someplace in Southern Ontario other than Toronto.
Guys, we're going to break and bring in DuPont for overtime. So, Smitty, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Marshall, see you on TV tonight.
Of course.
And you folks will be right back with overtime after this break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Tuesday morning. And you're watching on Facebook Live. Listen at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, for the overtime segment. Darren DuPont with me here in the program for OT. People not great at listening, Darren. I said this is the 99 episode, right? The yeah. Gretz episode.
And?
People just continue to write in with a string of 99s, and that's cool. It's all fun, right? I'm not angry.
Oh, of course.
This is out of respect for Wayne. But Brady, here's the text from Brady in Saskatoon.
I'm going to just guess he had six 99s.
Potentially more.
Oh, good.
This is our favorite high school student in Saskatoon on the Prairie Mobile text line. Brady writes, "Hey, Rod, it's Brady. I have a big list of number 99s. Please say them all." Beginning with Taco Fall. Would you know the name Taco Fall?
Wow, I do now, yes.
6'10" basketball player at UCF.
I saw him at, UCF at the March Madness.
Central Florida, which you'd have to be a college basketball fan to know that. And not only am I a quasi-college basketball fan, not a ton, but I was at a game in Orlando.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the Raptors Magic. My wife was with me, and all these people were taking pictures with this big skyscraper of a guy in a UCF jacket. It was Taco Fall.
Taco
now,
Fall.
If I'd known at the time, yeah. I would have got a picture with him. I should have.
It was cool.
Number 99.
That's why a bunch of us went and saw the Vanderbilt basketball game in Nashville last year.
Just to say you went.
Yeah, it was cool.
What's UCF? The Golden Knights? What are they?
Yeah, Golden Knights.
Wayne Gretzky. Number 99. This is from
he had him second.
Behind
Taco Fall.
Behind Taco. The Oilers goal. 7'5" Taco Fall. Clark corrects me.
Yeah. Holy cow.
You talk about growing up Oilers fans. We used to do this in the back of the bus with the kids from the Edmonton area. Probably before your time. Joey Bastion. Ryan Bast, those names mean anything to you?
No.
In junior hockey. And we would all imitate the public address announcer of the Oilers. We go around the back. The Oilers goal scored by number 99, Wayne Gretzky. That guy's not around anymore. How does he retire?
I know.
A.C. Leonard, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Quentin Jefferson, DeForest Buckner. Willie Jefferson, while with the Edmonton Eskimos, says Brady. And Jay Crowder. Jimmy McLarty, watching from Ryerson University in downtown Toronto right now, tells us that Taco Fall is with the Boston Celtics now. I didn't know that. Thank you, Jimmy. Speaking of guys who cut their teeth and moved on from here, hockey players, Jimmy would be one, played junior with the Nipawin Hawks, U of R Cougars, moved on to the big old city. You got a nice email from Corey Patterson the other day, and I was going to ask you to forward that to
me. You want me to pull it up?
It'll take you a while. I don't want.
No, second.
Okay, Corey Patterson, by the way, played for the Regina Pats, wore number 12. I kind of lost track of him. We used to call him the Sizzler when I was a kid because he used to take his stick and spin it around. Now everybody does it after he scored, but they called it the Sizzler. Corey Patterson. Haven't heard that name or even thought about him for a very long time. Then all of a sudden I noticed that he was following our show account on Twitter, and he emailed the show.
Yeah.
The Sizzler, Corey Patterson.
Rod, I just wanted to say thank you for providing such great content on your show. I live in Florida, and I'm completely out of tune with what goes on back in my hometown of Regina. I'm happy to say that your show has reinvigorated my love of my hometown. Thank you so much. Great show. Congrats on your sobriety as well. Keep up the great work. I look forward to tuning in. ! Corey Patterson.
The Sizzler.
The Sizzler.
From Tallahassee, Florida.
Get the golf club here to do it.
Like I say, everybody does it now.
Yeah.
But back then, he was the first. Shocking that I would remember that. Monty in Saskatoon. It's Monty. He wants to know if you're coming to Saskatoon for the Husky game on Saturday.
I'll be there in the booth. I know I'll be on the sidelines for that one on Saturday. So that'll be fun.
There's some very long faces around here. i.e. Regina, with regards to university football.
Yeah.
They're going to miss the playoffs. What's the Husky game mean Saturday? Playoff-wise.
Still an opportunity for to finish first, but you need some help from Calgary. Calgary needs to lose again. The Huskies trying to put their hands on and secure second place, a home playoff game, so that will happen with a win. So it's fun, and they want to build heading into the playoffs, too. Huskies lost to UBC last week. The Rams won, but because Calgary lost, they'll miss the playoffs.
That was the shocker to everybody.
That was the shocker, because Calgary's been so dominant, only lost once all year, and that was to Saskatoon. It's wild, because everything that could go wrong for the Rams kind of did. They didn't catch any breaks. You know, a couple of one-point losses, too. A very good football team, despite the record.
Producer Clark, why is Kerry Joseph tweeting about us? Ah, Kerry Joseph, who I believe is coaching at McNeese State, isn't he, Smitty? Yeah. Just found our interview with Marcus Crandall talking about Kerry Joseph. So Kerry's tweeting about that. See how we bring everybody together?
That's the goal here.
And by the way, Sean Lemon was watching the show yesterday, the BC Lions defensive end, and has volunteered his services to be our playoff insider in the Canadian Football League playoffs.
Whoa.
You probably didn't know about that. Clark and I were talking about it last night.
I missed that.
We're waiting to make the big announcement with the Lemonator, but he's volunteered to come on. So this kind of reminds me of my chat with Matthew Barnaby last weekend, where he said that his Sirius XM NHL radio show is so popular, particularly in the States, because there's no coverage of the NHL on radio in the States. So that's where all his listeners come from. And for us, as much as we could talk more hockey, our viewership is here for the CFL talk. It just is, because they're not getting the coverage anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than okay with that. But if you want to know why we talk as much football as we do, this is the only place you can get it.
Yeah.
Other than the TSN panel on game nights. And that's it. That's sad. But that's the way that it is.
But it's the way that it is.
Checking the poll results today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who's the most outstanding player in the CFL's West Division? The nominees are Cody Fajardo, Brian Burnham, Bo Levi Mitchell, Andrew Harris. And we didn't have an Edmonton Eskimo on there because we didn't have enough room, and we couldn't think of anybody that would be in this group. Cody Fajardo leading with 58% of the vote, and I don't think that is a green-tinged vote. I think people actually think he could be the West Division most outstanding player, maybe of the whole league. Second place is Brian Burnham. Well, Cody's got 58% of the vote. Brian Burnham's got 18%. Andrew Harris, 15%. Bo Levi Mitchell, just 9%. And by the way, I know we got to get off the air. I got to go do another show. But Smitty was saying the other day, if you had an opportunity to sit down as you're scouting Cody Fajardo and talk to him, it's one thing what you see on the film. It's another for what you get in a conversation with him. He'd look in the whites of his eyes. If you were talking to Bo Levi Mitchell as a young, whippersnapper, gunslinger coming out of college, and he's just exuding confidence / arrogance, it's a very fine line.
Yes.
Are you signing him? Because Cody's not exuding that.
It's interesting. They're two completely different
Smitty,
guys.
Smitty, get in here.
We almost need you back in here.
Yeah, we're bringing him back in.
Yeah.
Are you guys okay with that back there?
Well, he's off the shot right.
We got to get off the air for Stephen A.
sneak right in. We got a second on this.
Yeah, we got to bring him in.
Wow.
Our director of scouting with an unscheduled visit, Craig Smith.
Call a quick audible.
I just had a cookie.
You just had a cookie from Perkin Taps?
Fantastic.
Aren't they good? Yeah. So good.
Two completely different guys. But
right. If you're, yeah. For, you go ahead.
For Cody, you really have, this is a guy that you can put on the poster. He's a leader. You feel good about him in the community. And he's really going to bring your team together. But when I sit there and see Bo Levi being a little cocky, being a little arrogant, and being very confident, I'm like, okay, whatever you say. Like, this guy's a guy that I think, I just trust that he's going to win. You know, and I feel confident that he's going to be able to win football games.
Go ahead, Smitty.
So there's a little difference.
Well, I think the film of Bo Levi would show you a lot that would want to make you get him to our league. And he was a champion. He was a champion at
Eastern Washington?
Eastern, but and Katy, Texas in high school. So that's pretty good. When you have a pedigree like that, you always want to get guys that are winners. And I think that comes into effect. But I understand the arrogance and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes you kind of like that. Sometimes you kind of want that from your quarterback. Not too stupid, though, you know, where everybody hates him. I don't know if I should say anything about this, but there was a quarterback that we had when I was in Hamilton, and he pissed people off, and nobody really wanted to play for the guy because of that attitude, the arrogance, and all that kind of stuff, and that's obviously a concern. So, you know, it's a fine line, you know. Yeah. You kind of want to get a guy that wins like that and throws the football so well. If his arrogance is just too much, could be a problem.
Got to be on the fine line.
Well, and by the way, you didn't say too much because I was in the league 20 years. I have no idea who you're talking about. So you didn't give away anything there. But thing with Bo, you can see him, and he already said it. He goes into the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if he was with Spielman, the GM, or who he was with, but probably. He says, I'm going to come in here and compete with Kirk Cousins for the starter's job. And they're like, no, we don't want you to do that. Well, that's – I get the mentality why you would say that, but that turned off the Vikings, obviously.
Yep, absolutely.
I only worry about it when things start going bad. And that's where I don't have a problem with Cody. I'm super confident in his ability to bring everybody together. It's that fine line of confidence and arrogance that, okay, when things are going bad in Calgary, should they ever, will they rally around Bo or will they turn?
Well, it's funny how two different quarterbacks can have two different approaches to the game and have success. You know, you take a look at Bo Levi Mitchell and then you take a look at Cody and you know, they're both different guys, but you know, they obviously have success. And man, is it ever going to be cool to watch the playoffs this year? I mean, it is just going to be unreal.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be having some popcorn.
The next generation. The next ones.
Oh. Yes.
Cody, Fajardo. Yeah. Well, Bo, he is the it guy now, obviously, but see what happens with Winnipeg.
Does Calgary have that magic? Do they still have that magic where, you know, it's you go in there and it's tough to beat them?
Which is what they say about the Patriots every year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they keep winning. So, yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to think that they're not going to do it until somebody knocks them off. Jeff writes in, and Jeff Kozak says, you should just go another hour, Rod. Great listening. Yeah. Well, maybe one day soon we will. Yeah. But this is the one thing about Bo Levi. He just got roasted for saying that he went to Minnesota, said he's going to take Kirk Cousins' job, and then they didn't sign him. And he comes back with a chip on his shoulder. I said, I get it. And people are saying, what do you mean you get it? I get it. You guys both know this, and my wife's watching, so she can verify this is the truth. I've had opportunities in the NHL and with the major networks, but they wanted me to start at nothing, at $36,000. I got a family of five I'm supporting. Mm-hmm. I can't take that job. Mm-hmm. And it's with Bo. He could be in the NFL at a minimum practice roster salary, but why would he turn his back on a great situation in Calgary? That's why I understand where Bo was coming from. The opportunities were there, but at this stage of his life and my life, it doesn't make sense to take it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That's why I got what Bo was saying. And if I'm lying, I'm crying, and I haven't shed a tear.
It's like that big fish mentality. You know, I'm the big fish here. If I go down there, I'm going to be a small fish. He's been so successful. Relatively successful. There have been some losses, but boy... I mean, he's coming up, and he's familiar with Calgary. He's familiar with Huff. He's familiar with everybody. I mean,
And also his kids were born there and the whole thing. There's something about home, mm-hmm. and I don't want to go down that road, but I will. It dawns on me all the time when I walk into the bank, and I don't need to show my ID simply because they know that it's me. Or I can go into the hall in Arcola, and these young kids grew up, and now they're 20-something farmers, but they all feel like they know me because they've been listening to me on the radio their whole lives. Like, why would I leave that?
See, Duke,
there's something to that.
He's like Norm from Cheers.
Yeah, well, he's been around it.
I know.
He's seen it.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is a very big episode of the show. It's the 100th edition of the show. Sneak peek. For the Rod Squad, those of you that are sticking around for this uncut version, the after-hours version of the show.
Yeah.
Bob Poley, Jay Onwright, Corey Sheets, Ken Miller, Wes Cates, George Reed, Don Narcisse, Kenton Keith. And that's just a sneak peek, guys.
Yeah.
So Clark's been doing a great job on that. Thanks for sticking around, Smitty, and coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, exactly.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Mountain, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.